Father, we thank you for this morning. We receive in our hearts revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is no error in the teaching, and so there will be no error in our understanding. We ask that every man together as a church will behold Jesus. And as we see Jesus, we all will be helped by the Spirit to see ourselves as He sees us in Him. We have the questions in our hearts will be answered this morning. Gray areas, we have light shed upon them, as areas that are knotted in our hearts are straightened out by your word. We have that assurance will be found in the teaching of your word, to the end that we will worship you. We have this morning that your name will be glorified in our walk, as your church, even the people of God, are edified. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Right. Verse 15 and 16. Are we there? So we are answering some questions about salvation. So look at this. In verse 15, it is, and that from a child. Now have some more volume, please. He says, but from a child, or I'll take from verse 14, continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. Then he says, as from a child, thou hast known the Holy Spirit, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith, he says, which is in Christ Jesus. So what kind of salvation is in Christ Jesus? Salvation through faith. Hallelujah. I'll ask again. What kind of salvation is in Christ Jesus? Salvation through faith. Is it salvation by works? No. Is it salvation by your perfection? No. Salvation through what? Faith. The salvation happens. Can I get a response here? I'm not getting any response here. Does salvation have works? Yes. Are those works the requirement for being saved? No. So you have to know. Is it clear? Those works are rather the fruits, the signs that you are saved. They are not the conditions for it. They are rather the fruits of it. And as simple as that is, a Christian might be ignorant of that. Is it clear? That salvation is actually a free gift of God in Christ. No conditions attached. Though when you together, your salvation ought to be observed by all. Those are the works of salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, for example. Ephesians 2, quickly. Ephesians 2, you know, I remember in the earlier days when I started receiving God's word, I'm still receiving God's word, and I think I'm actually on these days. But I mean, the earliest times when I'm talking about 15 to 18 years ago, amen, I've been pastoring for 18 years. And I remember that the earliest, when I started receiving God's word, one of the major points of breakthrough for me was that the person who taught me God's word was able to help me see the difference between rewards and gifts. Are we together? He was able to differentiate for me in my Christian walk the things that are rewards from God, are free gifts from God. Because if care is not taken, you mix reward with gifts. Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a free gift of God. It's a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. Amen. So I don't know how you do it. Maybe you put it somewhere in your notes. Gift versus rewards. In your Bible study, you find out. For example, the Spirit of God in the believer is not a reward. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. And you have to know the difference. You have to know the difference. It's about rewards. The Bible also talks about the gift of God. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Are you there now? Are you there? Now, look at verse 5. I want us to read verse 5. Or, in fact, let us all read as a church. Everyone together, let's read from verse 1. Everybody, as a church. I want you to read loudly and clearly. As a church, one, two, go. Start it quickly. Who were there? Oh. Some of us are not reading. Can we read loudly? Okay. Can we take verse 3 now? Among whom also we had a conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, who fill in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature children of wrath, even as others. But verse 4. God who is rich in mercy, who has great love, in sin, and bringing us together with Christ, you saved. One. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in 7. Now wait, can we take verse 8 slowly but loudly? Want to go? That none of yourselves, it is the what? It is the gift of God. Are we together? Now look at verse 9. Everybody wants to go. Not of walk, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. So look at this. Were we created by good works or unto good works? I'm sure nobody failed English yet. Are we together? Were we created by good works or unto good works? So, will salvation have works? Is it the condition for the salvation? No. It says grace. Anytime you talk about grace, I like the way Yoruba people put grace. Ori ofe, eredomi, ori ofe, that is grace. I teach Yoruba. Praise God. I teach Yoruba. Amen. Ori ofe. Are we together? The free what? Free gifts. Glory to God. You know, it's what blessing the name of the Lord for that I'm saved. Glory to God. It's the free gift of God. So God started my walk with Him with a gift. With a gift. He started your walk with God with a gift. He gives you. Then he says, walk in this. Reward is the things you are walking towards to attain. He says, salvation is not one of them. It's not a reward. Look at Ephesians 1, chapter 1 of that chapter 2 we read. Look at the chapter 1 of the same book. Chapter 1. Glory to God forevermore. Look at verse 2. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, I have a blessing. He says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings. In other words, in three, he says the blessings are spiritual. Salvation is one of them. Spiritual blessings. This doesn't talk about money. This talks about things that can perish. It's not talking about things that can be used up. It's all spiritual blessings. And then that translation says, with all the blessedness of the Spirit in Christ. That means the Spirit of God in the believer is a blessing. Say, I'm blessed of God. Huh? That is, in verse 7, look at what it says. In verse 7, he says, redemption through his blood. What did he call redemption? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Look at verse 8. Wherein he has what? Abounded toward us. That means he has lavished forgiveness upon us. So again, this might shock you. Paul is saying that another gift of God is forgiveness. God doesn't reward you with forgiveness. It's a free gift. You know, we've taught forgiveness is something labor for, I have to labor for, I have to cry for, I have to fast for. Don't say, oh, why are you on the 30 days fast? I'm going to fast through all the month of May. Why? Because I want God to forgive me. That is salvation through works. No, he has forgiven you. Glory to God forevermore. Say, I'm forgiven of God. Say, I'm forgiven of God. I'm forgiven of God. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So when you are asking a question, how much am I forgiven? He puts a clause there, according to the riches of his grace. The question is, how rich is his grace? How rich is his grace? Forgiven according to the riches of his grace. I'm forgiven according to the riches of his grace. I'm forgiven according to the riches of his grace. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. His love is shed abroad in my heart. I'm forgiven. I am saved. I'm indwelt of to produce what? Good works. Is it clear? To live right. Saved to live right. Not live right to be saved. But saved to live right. You mustn't turn your destination to your source. And you mustn't turn your source to your destination. You're going to miss out. Now let me shock you one more. Once more. Even though it's not a shock, if you've been paying attention to your Bible study, it will not come to you as a shock. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians. Glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God. That believe God's word. Philippians 3. Look at verse 17. We're going to read into 20. 17. Everyone, are you there? We're having a church service, right? Thank you. Philippians 3, verse 1 now. 17. Can we take it there? 1, 2, go. Brethren. Oh, so who is he writing to? Christians? Brethren. Are those Christians? Thank you. So let's read together. 1, 2, go. Be followers together of me and mark them with works to us for an example. 18. Many walk of whom I've told you of whom, not that you're weeping, enemies of the cross of Christ. 19. Obviously, verse 18 and 19 is talking about false teachers. Those who preach the word of God for gain. He says their God is their belly. It's out of appetite that they are teaching. Are we together? Greed. But look at verse 20, everyone. One. Our what? I don't really like how KJV puts it there. I like, who has another translation? There's a translation that makes it clear. What's the word conversation there? Citizenship. Thank you. How do I know? It's not a word of knowledge. Who else has a translation that says citizenship? Citizenship. You have citizenship. Who else has citizenship? You have, what translation is that? New KJV. Oh, new. So, what? Citizenship. Does that sound like you are already a citizen of heaven? Does it sound like that? Does it sound like that? That means, look at this, heaven is not a reward. I know that will shock you. And if it shocks you, it's because you are not a good Bible student. You've not been studying your Bible. Heaven is not what? You've even preached it. You know the way we used to sing it? We say, Ijoba oru lere oni gbagbo. Any singer, but that song is not true. Are we together? How do we know it's not true? That is not what the scripture teaches. Is it clear? In John's Gospel, chapter 3, Jesus said, if you are born again, you have entered, you have seen the what? The kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot. In 4, which we saw in a lap, he said, he that believes on me, he says, has passed from death unto life. He will never come into condemnation. He has passed from death unto life.
So the believer
is not in doubt as to his, are we together? Citizenship. The believer is not in doubt as to his citizenship. He says, our citizenship is where? In heaven. So I told you, for example, I said that heaven is not where you are journeying towards as a Christian. Heaven is where you began your journey. If you follow the thoughts of the script, the work of God is taking the whole earth for his glory. Isn't clear? So God didn't save you to carry out an extraction mission. Now no, because that is what we believe. We now begin to teach some other concepts which are biblical, but in unbiblical ways. For example, the concept of rapture. And I've said this to you separately. The concept of rapture. That teaching on rapture, which shows that we are all going to escape this earth and God is going to destroy everything, is not true. It's not biblical. You can't find a single text of the scripture that says that. Sometimes I wonder why or how scripture became so popular teaching. It just tells you how many people actually read their Bibles. It's not that. There's no thing that Jesus is going to come and make us to escape from this earth. No. We rather see is the Lord. Are we together? The earth is the Lord. And in the scriptures, God said, as truly as I live, the whole earth shall be what? Filled with my glory. So, does God have plans for the earth? And that plan is not an escape. That plan is to fill it with his glory. So unpack your suitcases. Evangelize the world. Because we've listened to wrong that teaches us world. When the word of God says to abstain from the world, he's talking about its influences. The ungodly influences of the age. The influences. He's not saying to abstain from the world. Nothing to do with it. No. A big no.
A big no.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at this. You just have to be a very ignorant person. He says, are the meek, for they will do what? I thought you were saying that we escaped the earth. Escape the head. The head is meant to be inherited. Did you get it? So the Christian journey is not from earth to heaven. The Christian journey is from heaven into all the earth.
You must know the direction
that the Lord is going. The Lord came from heaven, is it clear? And is going toward what? All the earth. Are you on mission with him? Are you on mission with him?
Yes.
All the earth.
All the earth.
So unpack your suitcases. Unpack it fast. And remove your Bible from the suitcase. And wear your shoes.
And go out for what?
Listen. Praise God. You see why the world is not changed? Because we're saved. Now we're saved. We're just doing a maintenance service. Preparing ourselves for a kingdom. No. The way we prepare ourselves for his coming is by every child, every nation, every city, every town, every community hears what? The gospel. That's how we prepare for his coming. Because he won't show up. He won't show up. He says this gospel shall go into all of the earth. Matthew 24. When all the nations of the earth have had the gospel, then that will be a sign of his coming. He didn't say he will come. He says that will be a sign. Don't read it. Glory to God forevermore. So, it's not heaven at last. It's not what?
Heaven
at last. I told you, I said, heaven is not your goal. You were heaven's goal. You were heaven's goal. You were heaven's goal.
So, what
is my goal? My goal is to fill the whole earth with the influence of where? Of heaven. That is the works that he said you were created for. If he says you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, that means after salvation we now have what? He's saying that you share more. You are thinking of an escape plan. He's saying there's plenty what? There's plenty work. So unpack your suitcases. Praise God forevermore. Tell your neighbor, say, let's get to work. Tell your neighbor, say, unpack your suitcases. And let's get to work. Say to someone, say, unpack your suitcases. And let's get to work. Let me tell you something. In our time, the gospel will be preached like never before. Power. We're going to experience emergence of strong disciples on the earth like before our time, because we understand the work. Gone are the days of building doctrines on visions, dreams, emotions, and experiences. God's word must be built on the scriptures. When the scriptures are not open, God's will is not known. Even if you have 1,000 dreams, God will breathe on our hearts. Then we'll gain revelation of what God is saying in his word. And by that revelation, we experience the power of the Spirit of God, the refreshing of the Holy Ghost to go out and to watch them grow and changed and transformed and walk in all the will of God. Amen. So studying salvation. So in 2 Timothy 3, which is our text, I'm done shocking you. The 3, which is our text this morning. He says in verse 15 now, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So the salvation in Christ is salvation through faith. In 16, all scripture is given by inspiration, is formidable for doctrine. Then it is for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. So one of the things we said so far in this particular study is that salvation is Jesus' office. Don't forget that it is office. It is salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So with the salvation is his office. That is what he does. Salvation. And we're going to look at a little bit of study today. And then on Sunday, I'll continue a little bit of study till we get into full study of a subject. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 20, salvation is Jesus' office. You know, we asked the question last week. We said, who is the Savior? Is it God or Jesus Christ? And some of you were on God's side. Then some of you were on Jesus' side. But we're not quarreling. The people on God's side knew that God is Jesus, right? And the people on Jesus' side knew that Jesus is God, right? Alright, so we're all on the same side, isn't it? Alright, thank you. It's good we're all on the same side. Look at 1 Timothy 1. Acts 20, right? Go to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. Don't mind me. I just used that statement to clear like 5-6 texts. Thank you. 1 Timothy, because of time. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Amen. So he calls God our Savior. He calls God our Savior. God our Savior. In chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So God is the Savior. You know, we said, when we say salvation, what is that word salvation again? Soteria, right? Right? Salvation. We said there has to be the performer of it. The performer of salvation is called the Savior. The word sota in the Greek, the one who performs the act of salvation. What does soteria mean? Soteria means to prevent from destruction. To keep away from destruction. That's soteria. That's salvation. To save. To keep away. There is the person who is doing the keeping away. That is the performer of the salvation. And then we said, that is God. So God is the Savior. Are we together? Are we together? God is the Savior. Now, why are we saying all that? Because we want to look at basic things about salvation. For example, we want to answer the question, how long is a man saved? That's one of the questions we ask, answering. For how long is a man saved? So we have to look at who has made the salvation available in the first place. Amen? So we have to see, it is God is the Savior. God is the one who saves. He says, this is good and acceptable, 1 Timothy 2, 3, in the sight of God, our Savior. Now look at it. He says, for this is good and acceptable, sight of God, our Savior, who we have all men to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. To be testified in due time. Glory to God. In chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. He says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men." Now, he now said, "Specially of those that believe." I told you that the word "specially" there should not make you think that some people are saved without believing. Because it says, God is the Savior of all men. He now says, "Specially of those that believe." So, why will he say "specially of those that believe"? Does that mean that those who do not believe are also saved? No. You have to look at those words there, which I did spoke about last meeting. Praise God. Specially, the word "malista," M-A-L-I-S-T-A in the Greek, which has to do with "I mean." I mean. So when it says "specially those that believe, I mean those that believe. I mean those that believe. Are we there? I mean. In fact, in Acts 20:38, quickly, let's run to those texts. Acts 20. You see that word used, "malista," used about 12 times. Acts 20:8. He says, if you read 36, "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all." He kneeled down. He should have said, he knelt down, right? You are reading an old English, obviously. So you have kneeled down instead of knelt down. Many words are like that. In verse 37, "And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." That place, most of all, is the word "malista." Most of all. That is, this is the reason why they were sorrowing. Because he said they would not see his face again. They would see his face no more. Are we together? They would see his face. If you read Acts 20, the whole of Acts 20, you observe Paul already knew that there was a persecution waiting for him in Jerusalem. And he went nonetheless, despite the church saying, do not go yet, and all that. He still went. So he knew he might not come back. He would go to prison. So that became the point of sorrow for them. So when it says "most of all," that's the word "malista." That's what we saw especially in 1 Timothy 4 there. Are we together? Look at chapter 25 of Acts quickly. Acts 25:26. He says in verse 25, "But when I found that he had committed nothing wrong, nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him." Now what is Luke doing? Luke is placing Paul's suffering side by side with Jesus' suffering. Are we together? He places Saul's suffering side by side, Paul's suffering side by side with Jesus' suffering. Now he's honest. Yeah, they're persecuting him and all that. So if you look at 26, "Of whom I have no certain thing to write with unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa." Why did he say "special"? Are we together? Did you read the text with me? Did you read the text with me? Why did he say "special"? There was no point saying "specially," because he already said, "I have brought him forth before" what? "Before you." Then it says "specially before you." So that word "specially" is a word for emphasis. He emphasizes a point. So he's not changing his stance. He emphasizes a point. So "I brought him before you." I mean before you. Now obviously, also because when you bring somebody before the king, there is a tendency, or sorry, there's a likelihood that there are other dignitaries there, because this was a court. There are other dignitaries. So when he says, I've brought him before you, he puts the responsibility on the king, Agrippa. He says, actually you, that is, I brought him to your office. Please do not delegate this responsibility to someone else. I brought him to you, I mean to you. So when you see the word specially, it is used to draw the point home to emphasize. Is it clear? So he says, I have brought him forth before you, and specially before you. I mean before you. That is, do not delegate this. Please do not delegate this judgment to somebody else. Do not allow somebody else to give this verdict. I have brought him before you. I mean before you. Do you get what I'm saying, church? Do you understand that? Acts 26 verse 3. If you read from verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth his hands and answered for himself, I think myself up, you King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before the scourging all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. 3. Especially because I know this to be what? An expert in all custom. Especially again is what I mean. Simply emphatic. Emphatic. Galatians 6:10 quickly. Galatians. So those are the instances where you have the word malicia used. We have to see how it was used by Paul in Galatians chapter 6. Praise God. Galatians 6 in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. He said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. He says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can we take verse 10 together, everyone? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. Men is italicized, it's not there. All. I mean unto them who are of the household of faith. So Paul is teaching that your giving, he's saying, should be focused on believers in need in the church. Now, Paul never said giving to the unsaved is sin. He never said giving to unbelievers is sin. But in this context, Paul is teaching generosity. And then he's teaching generosity in the church. So he explains those he's talking about. He uses the word family for them. So he wants you to see that these people are a family. Obviously, they are not your natural family. So he says the family of faith. He wants you to see the church as a family. So he uses the word especially. That is, I mean. He says, they that are of the household of the faith. Are we together? Are we together? Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Verse 20. He says, I'm going to 22. Actually, I read from verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Now we take 22 together. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of the Caesar's household. The word chiefly there is what especially is malicious. Especially. In 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17. He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. Obviously, ruling at all has to do with word and doctrine. So why does he say especially? He drives his point home. He emphasizes it. So the text can literally read, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. I mean, they who labor in word and doctrine. Is it clear, church? So that word especially is not to say that there is a larger group. The especially as used in the text is just to emphasize the group he's talking about. So by the time you look at that same text which you read earlier, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then in verse 10, when he says, "For therefore," he says, "we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of men, especially of those that believe." Especially of those that believe here emphasizes those on whose behalf the work of salvation has been done. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So he says, the Savior of all men, he says, especially of those that believe. That is, those who believe have manifested his saving work already. He is the Savior of all men, but his salvation is already manifested. His salvation is already manifested on behalf of those, or in the lives, or in the hearts of those who believe. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So obviously, Jesus is the Savior. Amen. He is the Savior of all men. But does that mean, that phrase, "He is the Savior of all men," does that mean all humanity is saved? Why? Because not all humanity have believed the gospel. And you cannot be saved if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. A man says salvation is through faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Salvation, which is through faith. Salvation. Look at Acts 4 quickly. Acts 4 12 is a text decision. Let's go. Chapter 4 and then 12. Praise God forevermore. Acts 4 12. You hear that? Okay, let's read together. Want to go? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." No other name. Praise God. Praise God. No other name. Now, name refers also to authority. Authority, privilege. There is no authority that can redeem man from destruction outside the name of Jesus. So in John's Gospel chapter 1, quickly. Now we're going to be embarking on the study of the book of John very shortly. I think John will be the first book I'll take you guys to. John. In John 1, verse 1 now. John 1. Praise God. In verse 29. I see your Bible's being flipped. I wait for you. John 1, 29. Can we all read together? Want to go? Okay. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world." That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 1. Praise God. Verse 21. So salvation is Jesus' office. Matthew 1:21. Can we take it together? "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So Jesus is the Savior. He saves from sin. Is it clear? This time message. is the everyday message of the church. Are we together? Jesus is Savior. He saved man from sins. He's declared church. How many men? All men. Someone say all men. All men shall hear. All men shall sing of the glory of the Lord, of the saving power. Are we together? All men. 1 John 2. It is written all throughout the scriptures. 1 John 2. All men. All men. All men. Glory to God forevermore. All men. You know, John 5:24. We didn't read John 11. Are we together? We didn't read John 6. We didn't read John 7. We didn't read John 9, 1 to 5. We didn't read John 8, verse 12. Are we together? It's written everywhere. John 10. Are we together? 11. I am the good shepherd that lays his life down for the sheep. Are we together, church? Are we together? Now, look at 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. What does he say? Children, If any man sin, we have what? Okay. Jesus Christ, what? See, are we together? It means the wrath bearer. That's the word proposition. The wrath bearer. In the Yorubas, we call it Itutu. Is it clear? He is the wrath bearer. It is not only for what? Let's read that text. And he is the one? For our sins. Not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. Glory to God forevermore. For the sins of the whole world. Chapter 3, verse 16. For the sins of the whole world. What is in chapter 3, verse 16, quickly? So he talks about how he laid his life down for us. So we can go on and on. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. We can go on and on and on and on. To Romans at together. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, quickly. We take that text. 2 Corinthians 5. The 5:15. Glory to God. 5 verse 19. Can we take it together? I want to go. So, to wit that God in Christ, are we together? Reconciling the whole world unto himself. So that is what he does. He is a savior. He saves. Amen. If that is what he does, we must listen carefully. This is an argument. If that is what he does, if he is a savior, that is his office. I didn't say God saves. Much more than God saves, I'm saying God is the Savior. So it goes beyond something that he did. I'm saying that is what he does. Is it clear? You know, sometimes something can happen. Let's say you're driving, or let's say an automobile crash on the expressway, and then ask out of empathy, oh, what's wrong, and all of that, and this and that, and then someone say, and that guy, you know, so someone says, maybe what happened, maybe he was pressing his phone. Then someone says, no, the guy is actually a driver. You know, that leaves a different thought. When he says the guy is a driver, wow.
Or they say someone goes to swim in the water and then he gets drowned. Why am I giving those examples? Just follow me. So they say someone gets drowned in the water. So we're trying to say, what's he looking for in the water? What's he looking for in the water? And then someone comes and says, he's actually a swimmer. You know, you're going to feel wow. Because much more than he drives, we're saying he is what? A driver. That is what he does. So that means it must be a serious situation. Much he swims. We're saying this is actually what? A swimmer. Are we together? Or let's say on a football pitch, you see someone who has a penalty kick and he kicks the penalty and he hits the net. He's crossed the goal. And then the people are like, wow, this is nice. Then someone else comes and say, he's a footballer now. Oh, everybody will say, that's what he does. So we're not saying God also saves. We are saying he is the Savior. That is his office. That is what he does. It's like his profession. He is the Savior. This, we must begin uncomfortable if we find out that somebody is saved, God's lost. We must begin to get uncomfortable. Because that is what he does. So he is God and he is a Savior. Praise God forevermore. So salvation is his office. He is glory to God forevermore. He is the Redeemer. And we are in his hands. He didn't contract the work of salvation to somebody. He did the work himself. Glory to God forevermore. God is my Savior. God is my Savior. Don't forget what we read in John 10. He says they will never what? They will never perish. When the Savior is talking to you, come on, keep your seat. If you are not the Savior, is it clear? If you are not the Savior, you keep quiet and you keep your seat. Is it clear? When the Savior is talking about salvation, what should every other person be doing? Should be taking notes. Not arguing. You don't have to lose. To lose. Christian, who has ever through faith in the blood that has been lost? I told you that if you go to hell, if you visit hell, you're going to see many people there, but you won't find a Christian. You won't find a Christian. The indwelling of the Spirit is a permanent residence. You rather go to hell with the Holy Ghost. You go to hell with the Holy Ghost. Then you're born in hell with the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Then the Holy Ghost is crying alongside with you. Hey, oh God, why did you bring me here? Glory to God forevermore. Why did you bring me here? My feeling. Oh, is it? Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Look at Ecclesiastes. Well, we don't know where Ecclesiastes is. It's before Genesis. Ecclesiastes is in your Quran. Where it is in your Bible. Are we together? That's after Proverbs. Are we together? You have, after Proverbs, what do you have? Alright. Together? Chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Praise God. Look at verse 14, everyone. Let me get my Bible too. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. Wait for me. Yeah. Fast. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 14. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. I know that. Ask your neighbor, do you know? Ask your neighbor, do you know? Ask someone else, say, do you know? Now respond to the person, say, I know. Now let's read the text, 1, 2, go. I know that whatsoever God doeth, he shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from me. And God doeth it, that men shall honor him. Are we together?
Yes,
that's the word fear there. It means to reverence. He's declared. So the teaching on the security of the Christian in God's arm is so we can worship him. He says, not of works, lest any man should what? Should boast. There's no boasting. Whatsoever God does is what? Is what? Forever. No man can what? No man can what? Add to it. Neither can what? Take away from it. You can't take away from your salvation. You can't add to your salvation. You can't add to it. It's a perfect work. You can't take away from it. Amen. Don't say, oh, your hands, I say it's a lie. Your salvation is in God's hands. How intelligent do you think God is that he got you saved and put the validity of your salvation in your hands? You that you can't even keep a Bible that you bought. You have not kept a Bible. A big Bible, 100 naira. 100 naira. 200 naira. 400 naira Bible. Just to wait till the ink finish, you couldn't keep it. Are we together? Then God is going to put everlasting salvation and put it in your hands. My God is not dull. He declared, church, I'm safe in his arms. Glory to God. I'm safe in his hands. You know why there's joy in heaven when a sinner gets saved? Because heaven recognizes that another one is what? Is forever secured. As we take back and lower here. Do you get it? Get it? As we take back and lower issue. The goal is that the whole earth is what? Filled with the glory. We have collected one again. Collected one again. Because he's what? Secure. I'm safe in the Father's hands. I told you, if you find any preacher that comes from hell and said he saw a Christian in hell, just know that that preacher is the next thing. See, Christianity and the word of God is so absolute that the destination of every Christian is predictable. It's clear in God's word. It's clear in God's word. Indwells. Secure in the Father's arms. He planted you not on a strange mountain, but on himself as the foundation. Forever planted in him. Are we together? He says, if any man in Christ is a new creation, all things have passed away. All things have become new. He's a new creation, if any man in Christ. He's talking about a union forevermore. So many times, the text that describes the security of the Christian, we have used those texts to talk about a particular rapture. No. He says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the temple that God will never leave. Are we there? This is the temple that God will never leave. He dwells in me. I am saved. I'm saved. Saved. I've been washed by the greatest authority in heaven and on earth. Is it right? under heaven. That means that is the greatest authority. Is it clear? That's the greatest authority. That's the greatest authority. That's the greatest authority. Don't walk. I am sick. You know, sometimes because you know, sometimes when you do something wrong, and then you're like, oh God, where's me? I remember someone like me, you know. I think it got to the time I went to the altar call. You know what altar call is? You know what altar call is, right? Yeah. I went to the altar call. I must have gone to the altar call in my life over 50 times. Not because I was that terrible, but because I was ignorant of my salvation. Now, the day I stopped going, the people around me said, you're fine. that was to go again. It was a funny thing. Many years ago, I will go again. If I go hungry, I'm looking forward to the next altar call. If I go hungry, we just had service. And then I felt so holy because I just left the altar. I felt so washed and holy and all that. Ooh, as we were going, you know, there was a field beside the house. Someone just kicked the ball, and I think the ball hit me, and I got angry. And I was telling the guy, you have ruined my salvation. You have ruined my salvation. Oh, you have ruined my salvation. God is going to judge you. My salvation. Because we were taught that if you go happy, you have lost your salvation. If you think bad thoughts, you have lost your salvation. Who is here that does not think bad thoughts? You don't think bad thoughts? In fact, the Bible even said, it is not only you, when you do bad things that you have seen that. To him, he said, it's a sin. So, an elderly woman, and carry her to cross the road. You see. And as for those who believe, anytime they ask for forgiveness, someone say, oh, this thing that you are teaching people is going to make them to sin. Who taught it to Adam? Did Adam have a power that made him to sin? Folks are going to sin because they want to sin. Are we together? You just have to teach God's word. So say, oh, this thing you are teaching on giving and tithing, people will not give again. It's a lie. Was Jesus teaching it that Jesus did not give? Stingy people will always be stingy. You mustn't, because of them, not teach the truth of the word. You can't, because of an abuse, lie to people. Teach the truth. Teach the truth. So I told someone, I said, you say that I'll lead people to sin because I tell them all their sins have been forgiven of God. Now you teach, you accuse me of that. Now you teach that we have to ask for forgiveness of sins, right? Now, look at it. Let's say you were right. That we have to ask for forgiveness of sins for God to forgive us. That means every time I ask for forgiveness of my sins, what happens? God will forgive me. Which of us is teaching people to sin? Did you get what I'm saying? I'm saying God loves you. He's forgiven all of you. You are saying anything you ask. Anytime you ask him, he will just forgive you. So who is the one giving the license? Is that teaching that says anytime you ask for forgiveness, he forgives you, that giving you the license to sin? Because you think that I just have to ask for forgiveness. No. 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 He has to die. Are we together? He has to die. Forgiveness is because he's faithful and is committed to you. And he loves, he dwells in you. And he has indulged you. Forgive me.
because he loves you. Glory to God forevermore. Jesus then said in his word that if somebody owes his master, someone owes his master, he says, owes his master, let's say he owes his master about $5. And then somebody else owes the same master $50. Now somebody else owes his master about $5,000. You know, I add US to this one. US dollars. Not just dollars. US dollars. Are we together? Not in crypto. I mean cash. Amen. Now the master comes up and says, you guys come around. He says, how much do you owe me? He says, I just $5. Oh, $5 USD, $5, that's what he called. $5. So $5, okay. You know what? Do you have it? No. Don't worry. You know, a guy will just say, Babao, thank you, sir. That's what he say, thank you. Then he calls the other one that owes him $50 USD, right? $50. He says, you owe me 50. He says, don't worry, you don't have to pay me back. Then we just say, wow, thank you, sir. Oh. But imagine the one that owes him 5,000 USD. That's how much in Naira. That's about 7 to 8 million Naira. Huh? 7 to 8 million Naira. 7.8 million. I know he works around money. He has the figure. 7.8. Are you at the point? I believe what he's saying. So 7.8 million Naira. Are we together? So someone just says, let it go. How would you respond? Any question? I won't say any pay over because it might just change it. Any pay over. I mean that. But if you then say the 5,000 USD, it says let it go. You know, you might be moved to tears. Are we together? So Jesus now asks Peter, he says, which of them will love most? So Peter said, it is the one that was forgiven most. Are we together? The teaching of God's word, when well understood, will birth greater depths of service and the love of the Lord in your heart. Anybody that hears God's word and feels that he can live anyhow, he has not understood. Has not understood. So when we say that you're saved, you mean that even my future sins have been forgiven? Yes. Yes. So this, how? That is God. He sees your future. And at the beginning, he declares you forgiven, knowing fully well what you will do ahead. So that at no point in time will you think that there is lapses between you and him because of your fault. Not so you can rejoice in being faulty, but so that you can worship him without a sense of guilt and serve him. He does that. So any God's word feels that I can do anyhow, I can live anyhow, God's word. It's not the word you have. It's not the scriptures that was taught to you. It's not the message that was taught to you. It's something complete. So we are objects of his love. Is it clear, church? We are what? We are objects of his love. We are the objects of his love. The objects of the Father's love. That he looks ahead, he sees your faults, he declares you forgiven. That he knows the kind of person you are, with all your bad thoughts and stubborn nature. Stubborn. Some of them you stubborn. As someone used to call stubborn some years ago, just stubborn. He is stubborn more than stubborn. He knows your stubbornness, yet he put his spirit in you forever. That is love. Praise God. Some of us find it hard to believe. Sometimes, you know, when we marriage, the man and the woman puts a ring in the man's hand, and they are made to say words to themselves that affirms a long-lasting bond, isn't it? So they say things like, in sickness, right? They say those things. I asked someone, said, for better, for... No, he didn't say for better. He said, I forgot how he said, yeah, she interested me. He said, I think he said, for better, for worse. And then she didn't use the word worse. They even said, in good health and in ill health, right? In sickness. She didn't say it. I said, well, this is not faith. That's not faith. You gotta say it. Take your ring and take it back to the market. Are we together? Health and good health. Marriage is in poverty and abundance. Not because, see, but it becomes abundant. Are we together? Paul said so too. Jesus said so too. Moses said so too. He says, two shall become what? One flesh. Distinct flesh. They don't become one flesh because they become the same person. No. One flesh, because one in the Hebrew is different from number. It's distinct. Here, always read, Lord God is one. It's distinct. They will become distinct. So I'm for you, you for me. So in marriage, many times we make words of everlasting commitments to themselves. Are we together? And we expect that marriage is like that. But when we look at the love of God toward the believer, we doubt it. You expect a man to commit personally to the woman, and when he, you agree that he will do it. You believe that he will do it. But when God comes and tells you that now that you are saved, you will never be lost, you are doubting that the believer really saved for that long. So you doubt God's statements of commitments to the believer. You believe that mortal men can be that. No. God's faithfulness is the foundation of worship. Are we together, church? That he loves me and that he has saved me. Glory to God forevermore. I'll close on this note and I'll open it from here next week. Look at Hebrews. And I think we're about to begin our study. In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews does a very excellent work regarding the explanation work of Christ's salvation, the writer of Hebrews. Now, obviously, the book of Hebrews, as a background, before we go in, has a Jewish audience. Now, pay attention. You can see I've changed my tone already. I'm now slow. The writer of Hebrews has a Jewish audience. We'll see how this comes to our study with time. The audience, the background of the book of Hebrews was the kind of people the material was written to. But Jewish in nature. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, it says God, verse 1, who at sundry times, polymeros, polytrophos, he says, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. By using the word fathers and prophets, the writer already gives us a clue that his audience has a common heritage. For example, it means that you are not the audience of that book. Because when he says the fathers, there will be a question in your heart, which father? Is he talking about Odudua? Are we together? If you're Yoruba and you are reading the text, is he talking about Odudua? Or who are the fathers of Yoruba? Oromiyo. Right? Right? Who else again? Lamurudu. Oromiyo. Who else? Odudua, that's the name I'm looking for. So if the writer of Hebrew says unto the fathers, you and I know that the fathers could not be Odudua. Are we together? Are we together? So he's talking to an audience who has a history. Now that means that whatever he's about to describe, you and I, we need to assume the position of the audience. Now the easiest way to assume the position of the audience is to simply be versatile in whatsoever material the writer of Hebrew is what? Using to teach. Let me help you out. That is simply the Old Testament books. So you and I will need to be familiar with the Old Testament books. Or else when he says fathers, you'll be clueless. He even said prophets. Prophets. Will he refer to Muhammad? Are we together? Obviously no. In fact, this material was written 1,000+ years before Muhammad came around. Which is one of the things that just shocks me about the Muslim religion. Are we together? Besides the book dropped from the sky, which is a pure lie. But besides the fact that you say that, how do you intend to use a material that comes about 2,000 years? Are we together? Are we together? A material that 2,000 years, 1,400 and something years, to begin to unfound or debate a material that had existed that length of years before you. If you don't get what I'm saying, it's fine. It's about us some other day. If a book existed, are we together? Hundreds of years completed the books of the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. And then you find the history of the four Gospels, Jesus and his apostles. The history of the four Gospels already also documented, not only that it happened, but already documented. Are we together? Put in place. Then, obviously, you already had the man before the book. Is it clear? Is it clear? I'm talking about the holy book. And I'm not subbing any. I'm just... You already have the man. Then you now have what? The book. Even the man was not born until about 400 to 600 years after the last apostle had died. Are you with me? Yet you want to talk to me about Jesus. You want me to believe you about Jesus. Believe your words over the words of those who saw and touched him. You must be a joke. Are we together? You must be what? You must be joking. He had his apostles, he had his followers for several years. Then you come, you want me to believe your words. And the words are not affirming, but negate the words of the eyewitnesses. No, it doesn't happen that. If we have anything to read, to understand about a man, are we together? We go primarily to those who met him and associated with him. Be a learned person. Understand what biography means. You go to those who interacted with him. Is it clear? Secondly, it is mischievous to learn about a man or the works of a man if you are really sincere. You will not learn about a man or the works of a man from his scripture. Is it clear? If you seek the truth,
you will go to those experiences. I have something to say, but they can't hold as much word. It's just like I believe more about son. Are we together? Than somewhere. It's not possible. Do you get what I'm saying? So if he says the prophet,
do you
agree that the prophet that the writer of Hebrew is talking about are definite men? Is it clear? If
he says the
fathers, you must agree that the fathers that the writer of Hebrew is talking about is
what? Are definite men.
They are men in the scriptures. Are we together? I'm closing this morning on that note. That's that way. So, if he says in Hebrews 1, God who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers. Now, let me help you again. You must also agree that what he meant by sundry times and diverse manners are all historical facts. Are we together? The diverse manners and the sundry times could not be imaginary, because it doesn't just mention times, it now also mentions figures, personality. By saying sundry times, diverse manners, and saying fathers and prophets, you have already described those sundry times. You have called those times the moments that those prophets did what? Spoke. Or those times, the periods that the fathers what? Lived. Is it clear? So if he says, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at certain times in different ways, do you agree with me that the fathers, the prophets, the different ways, the different times are all historical? Are we together? Because he will not refer his audience to personalities they did not know. Are you with me? The reason why I'm doing that is because we're about to delve into the book of Hebrews. You must know why and how the writer of Hebrews begins his writings that way. Because we're about to see those prophets, what they said. He says, God spoke to the prophets. God used the prophet, rather, to speak to the fathers. Now look at verse 2. I'll close here. In verse 2, he says, that same God has in this world, last days, spoken unto us by who? His son. Now pay attention. Whom he has what? Appointed heir. I'm going to merge Greek words now. Whom he had appointed, it's am I, are we together? Which means to select or to place in an office. To select, to place in an office. That's what it am I. Whom he had appointed is the language of an appointment. To select, bring into an office. That means there's a function that the son is carrying out. Are you with me? So he says, the son whom he has appointed what? Head. Of what? Of all things. Head. How did I say you should read the word all when you are reading the scriptures? All this. So the son, he says, has been appointed as the head of all these things. All these things. What are these things? The things the father spoke to the prophet, or the prophet spoke to the fathers what? About. Are you paying attention? He says, God, who at sundry times, in diverse manners, spoke unto the fathers by the prophet. That same God has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. The son whom he had appointed heir of all these things. Which things? The utterances of the prophet. He calls the son the heir of the utterances of the prophet. Are we together? Now, the word heir is a very instructive word. It's the word kleronomos.
We are all familiar with that word. Kleronomos, from kleronomia, is a word used for inheritance. Her inherits. Are you with me? The one who inherits. So he says the Father has appointed the Son the rightful inheritor of all the utterances of what? Of the prophets. Before miracles. Are we together? I'll take the Father, are we together? Has appointed who? The Son to be the what? The heir. What is heir now? The rightful what? Inheritor. Right? So the Father appoints the Son to be the rightful inheritor of all the utterances of what? Of the prophet. That shows you something as you take our study. That when you hear the prophet prophesying, which prophet will it be? The Old Testament. We're going to see that shortly. I will not assume anything. We're going to see it. How will you know who the fathers are? How will you know who the prophets are? I'm not going to put any words into your heart. We're going to see it ourselves as we read the text. That in the same Hebrews, the characters mentioned were characters of the Old Testament. You see David. You see Abraham. Are we together? You see the elders of Israel in the wilderness. You see Joshua. In fact, if you get to Luke 11, Hebrews 11, you now see many of them. Those are the fathers, the ancestors of the Jewish descent. Who are the prophets? You will see Moses in the same book. To show you that the prophet and the fathers are all characters of the Old Testament books. Therefore, when you see the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets, what is it telling you? Their words, are we together? Was a declaration of something that somebody will come to execute. In their words, you will find responsibility being described ahead of time. That's prophecy. In the words of the prophet to the fathers, you will see responsibilities being declared. Responsibilities being declared. He says, the Father has now made the Son the rightful inheritor of the utterances. So the Son is the one that comes to execute all the responsibilities in the utterances of the prophets when God used them to speak to whom? The Father. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory? Can we take it together? Express image of who? Of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself done what? Forged our things. And sat down on the right hand of the majesty, being made so much better than him. What does it show to us? The Son of God, we call him Jesus. Are we together? It is the rightful head, executor, actor of the utterances of words. That means, look at this. Whatsoever we said that Jesus did will be found in the Old Testament. Are we together? If Jesus comes and he fulfills responsibilities, and they are different from what the prophet said in the Old Testament, then Jesus is an imposter and a fake person. But the sign that he is the Savior, are you with me? Is that whatsoever he does, he is consistent with what? With your trust. Because that is what the writer of Hebrews says. He says the Son has been made the rightful heir, the inheritor. So his works are consistent with the Old Testament. The promises of God's salvation in the Old Testament, the promises of God's redemption in the Old Testament, which are both Baba and non-Baba is fulfilled in Christ. What am I saying? Salvation is his office. When it comes to saving men from sins, give it to him. That is his work. There is no other name. Peter said, are we together? Ask for under heaven, whereby was we made sins than the name of who? The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, if any man put his faith in him, he is saved. He said, so Jesus didn't show up. He didn't just show up. And you know, some people think maybe he showed up as somebody that likes the scriptures. Some say, Jesus is the religious leader of Christianity. It's not true. He's not a religious leader. He is God. Are we together, church? He is who?
He's God.
He's God. He's not a religious leader. He's not a religious leader. Jesus is not a religious leader. Some say, their leader is Jesus. He's like, no. No. He's not a religious leader. He is God. Are we together? That is why there was a word used to describe him in all of the Old Testament. The word of the Lord. John says, the word became man. He didn't say the word came into existence. He says the word became man. That means that word has been in existence. In ages past, the word had been in existence. But for the first time, we see the word in human words, in human form. That is God himself. Are we together, church? So a study of salvation is the study of his work. His destiny will be unveiled. His will be discovered. His capabilities will be explored. In exploring his capabilities, we see that the one he redeems is redeemed to never be lost. Are we together, church? We must be rest assured that in Christ Jesus, we are saved. We are redeemed to never be lost. Have you learned something? You on your feet, rise up your hands and give him praise. The man in Christ is saved. The man in Christ is established on the rock of salvation. When it comes to salvation, look at what God is saying. Move on from there. When it comes to salvation, what is he saying? What is he saying? Move on from there. What do I mean by that? When it comes to salvation, don't check it again. Don't doubt it. So God will say that a proper handling of the scriptures will build in your heart what? Assurance of salvation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in the statement, there will never come a time that you will make the opposite. Are we together? There will never come a time that you will be right. If you say the opposite of it, I'm saved. I'm saved from sins. I'm redeemed. I'm secured in his hand. I'm in the Father's hand. He keeps me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are we together, church? I shall not want. It's a statement of salvation that I have all that I need. Paul explores that I shall not want. He says, with all the blessedness of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Just give him praise this morning. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise this morning. Minister to the Lord. Always thank you.